Hello, everyone. I work for donors and philanthropists to help them figure out how to fund some of the most challenging societal issues. Most of what I do for my clients is highly confidential. It's necessary to do it this way because I need to earn the trust of the folks that I talk to. I therefore don't often have the opportunity to offer you, my podcast listeners, a window into this very intriguing facet of my work. But in this special case, I have the opportunity to talk to you about the journey I took to navigate firearm-related suicide prevention in rural Oregon with one of my clients called the Roundhouse Foundation. Please note that the discussion about suicide prevention is a very sensitive topic. Only listen to this podcast season if you're adequately prepared for the discussion. If you or someone you love is struggling with thoughts of suicide, please seek professional support and call the 988 Lifeline for immediate care and help. Erin Borla runs the Roundhouse Foundation, and she's also a trustee of the foundation. And she explains very well why her foundation is interested in thinking about solutions to firearm-related suicide in Oregon. Have a listen.
I think as a country, we have gotten ourselves into this position where you're either this or you're that. There's nothing in the middle. It's either black or it's white. It's either blue or it's green. There is nothing in the middle. And I, especially on issues like gun rights and abortion and other of those really divisive topics, that you're right or you're wrong. That's it. Doesn't matter which side you're on, you're right or you're wrong. Right. And I don't think that's reality. I think people are more than one dimensional. Issues are more than one dimensional. And we have to be able to look at issues on it with a broader brush. I think if we look at firearms in particular, you know, depending on where you live, if you're a hunter, if you are a law enforcement officer, if you're a veteran, you have different relationship with firearms than you do than the general public. If you are a farmer or a rancher, you might have a firearm handy that you keep handy for a variety of reasons. And I think those things are important to think about. And that starts to blur the line a little bit. And we start to see that gray area. And if we open ourselves up to saying, how could we make a step forward, even if it's not a giant leap forward, but a step forward in saying, let's just continue the conversation. How can we break down the barrier to have the conversation? So if we have someone who's very passionate about their Second Amendment rights and saying, all you're trying to do is take my firearms away, and we can show the statistics. I mean, the newest statistics here for the state of Oregon for suicide just came out. It's like 69% of firearm deaths are suicide. That's a huge issue. And having those numbers available, and majority of folks, I would venture to say, know someone who has died by suicide. How do we connect that and say, how can we better communicate? And I think it's getting to know one another beyond what we see on Facebook or Insta.
And Donna Marie Drucker, who you're about to hear from, she runs the Oregon Firearm Safety Coalition, and she's got a wonderful and such an inspiring personal story. And it'll help you understand why I really feel strongly about finding solutions to this very important problem.
Everything felt a little bit hopeless. And with that, when I was around 19 years old, I attempted to end my life when everything just felt like I couldn't dig myself out of the hole that I was sitting in. And I will say there were multiple firearms in my home. My father was a gunsmith. In England, they were no longer allowed to have handguns, but my late father was not willing to give up his handguns. So I knew that they were in the home, and I looked for them. I spent a decent amount of time trying to locate those firearms because, to me, that was the quickest and easiest way to end my life. When I couldn't find them, I moved on to other means. And as you can see, I survived that attempt. That's why I'm here today. And that's a really big part of why I do this work, because the only reason why I'm alive today is because there was time and distance between me and the most lethal means. When I woke up the next day alive, it was a complicated feeling because, you know, people assume that it's all relief that you're alive. There was still some shame that I couldn't actually figure out how to kill myself. I'd failed at that as well, which is something that we don't always talk about in suicide prevention, how the aftermath can also bring on a lot of negative emotions. But shortly after getting some help and some support, I kind of felt like I got a new lease of life, like a second chance at everything. And that was huge. It really helped me turn my life around. I came to America and I got to study abroad. I made some really amazing connections and just was able to live for the first time. I often say that coming to America saved my life because it was like a clean slate, an absolute new beginning. I was able to discover who I was as a person and to lean into that instead of a life of who I was told I was supposed to be. And within that really, like I say, really gave me a new lease on life. I've never had a second attempt of suicide. I've never even been back to that very dark place where everything felt so hopeless. So to think that my life could have ended at the age of 19 is really impactful to me, because since then I've enjoyed life. It's not all unicorn and rainbows. I've definitely had tough times, but you know, I moved to America permanently in 2000. My husband and I have been married for 23 years. We have 3 teenage children. I have ups and downs with them, as any mom with teenage kids. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be alive, and I'm grateful for every day that I am alive. And there's still things that I'm going to accomplish. I still have goals and dreams. And again, to think that that could have been taken away like 27 years ago and none of my life would have happened is really impactful. So my goal in this work, the reason why I do this work, is that I understand the pain that people feel when they get to a place where ending one's life feels like the only option. It's a significant pain. Everything feels utterly hopeless. And then you feel like you've found the solution. And sadly, that solution becomes your only comfort. And that's why helping people around suicide can be so complicated, because everything else is exhausting. Thinking that you'll no longer be exhausting feels comforting.
And Jess Marks from the Oregon Alliance for Gun Safety also explains why this issue is so important at a personal level.
I think at the end of the day that I just keep coming back to, you know, it's this issue that we're working on is people's lives. Like, it is so hard because it's so divisive, but it's work we have to be willing to do. And, you know, I think about our veterans who serve the country. I think about our kids in classrooms. I went on a field trip with my son, and there was a flat tire on the bus where it made this really loud explosive noise. And every kid on that bus started screaming that they were being shot at. And I think we just have to realize this is an issue, that there are real solutions that can make a big difference, things like ERPOs. And, you know, there are policies that actually work. It's not intractable. And so I think if we just keep coming back to why we're here, who we care about, and that this is rooted in people, you know, that's where I always end, is like, we have to kind of get out of the divisiveness of the topic and arguing about the Second Amendment and shift our focus to how do we keep each other safe.
Okay, so are you intrigued yet? Are you interested in learning more about suicide prevention by firearm, using rural Oregon as an example? Please tune in to my podcast series. It's going to be released, the series will be released on September 30th. This is just a little preview. It's a very important topic. It's a very important topic to think about solutions. And I also hope that as you go through this journey with me, you'll see that even the most politicized topics, even the ones that seem most intractable, like suicide prevention by firearm, I think as philanthropists and donors, If we talk to the people, we'll find common ground and places we can fund and make a difference. So I want this to be, even though it's a hard topic, I want this to be a conversation of hope. Hope that we can save lives and we can support people who are doing such good work on the ground to make a difference.